Hey, what's up? This is your homegirl, Complex Angel, and welcome back to another episode of Self-Love is My Rehab, where we are tired of abuse being our addiction. I'm about to get my partner in crime, DC, on the line so we can start the show, and you already know we got another special topic to tune in, so tune in and love yourself. Yo, yo, DC, you there?
What up? What's really good, cook?
I love the energy. I love the energy.
What's good?
Nothing much. Just trying to stay positive.
Ain't we all?
Yes. Today was actually a good day for me. I got tissue today. I found some tissue.
That's kind of been the vibe of the week, you know what I'm saying? Just survival mode, man. That's just really been the vibe. I know that, you know, not just us, but I'm sure many people, you know, who have to, you know, kind of tune into, you know, who has an audience, you know what I'm saying? The whole corona situation, you know, it gets redundant after a while, and, you know, you don't want to constantly, you know, be a Debbie Downer, you know, and talk about it as often. But, you know, there's the times that we're in, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, I just want to, you know, put that out there, you know, just let everybody know that, you know, the vibe is never going to be 100% about the damn coronavirus. Like, we are not about to let this shit, you know what I'm saying, overpower the topic of the day, the feel of the day, you know what I'm saying? Any of that shit, you know what I'm saying? It is live in effect, but, you know what I'm saying, we can't allow it to, you know, take over, you know what I'm saying? So we going to try to rock this motherfucker out today and from here on out, you know what I'm saying, as if this motherfucker never existed, you know what I'm saying? But the moral of it is just, you know, stay 6 feet away from people and, you know, be hygienic. You know what I'm saying? There's two simple things that you were taught as a goddamn child with your snot-nosed ass. You know what I'm saying? Just follow the protocol, you'll be just fine. But, you know, but to what you said about the toilet paper thing, man, like, yeah. I hope you said a prayer and everything, because that shit's been hard to come by. That's the new age crack right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
what's the vibe of the week, though? You know, like you said, what was the vibe of the week for
you? I mean, like I said, the vibe of the week was just, you know, just basically just the survival of things, you know what I'm saying? And really, it hasn't been, you know, fully about the coronavirus, you know what I'm saying? It's been mostly about being able to, even though it's been kind of like forced to, like, you know, quarantine yourself, you know, isolate yourself from, you know, from outgoing activities, just being able to spend time with my kid, you know what I'm saying? Just feeling obligated to do that and that only, you know what I'm saying? That's pretty much been the vibe of the week, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, we haven't been really obligated to do anything, you know what I'm saying? Whether people force themselves to go out and do whatever they want to do, or, you know, the people that actually just sit in the house and take advantage of it, you know what I'm saying? And actually just spend time with people within the household, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's been my vibe, you know what I'm saying? Because right now, my job isn't, you know, up and running, you know what I'm saying? So I have no obligations, you know what I'm saying? So my full, you know, intentions is just, you know, to spend time with my kid. And, you know, we do everything, you know what I'm saying? And she loving it because her ass ain't got no damn curfew. But, you know what I'm saying? I had to create one. It's like, look, you goddamn party animal. Like, because if I let my kid stay up long enough, she'll stay up until the fucking crack of dawn, and she's done it before. And it's like, it's like, wait a damn minute. Like, where's all this energy at? And then you can take a cat nap and be cool all over again. Like, the fuck? But
I miss those days where I was able to stay up to 3 in the morning. I miss those days. I'd be knocked out by, like, 10 o'clock.
That's what I'm saying. Like, talk about just the ability to fucking stay up that late. Like, I don't even have it in me. Like, I think one time during this whole shutdown thing, like, I stayed up probably like around 12:30, maybe 1 o'clock. And when I say it just felt so wrong, like, I was telling myself in my head, like, you know, damn well you don't stay up this late no more. You know, your ass be in the bed at 10:30 at the latest. How the hell did you over exceed 2 hours? You know what I'm saying? So, exactly. I mean, just to have the ability to stay up that late is crazy.
Right.
But, hey, that's just a 30-year-old talking shit.
Oh, gosh. Well, on last week's episode, we talked about entitlement issues. And the takeaway from that is, honestly, it's no right way to try to control people. It's no way that you can feel entitled over others. People, if people are going through things, it's okay for them to, you know, step away from the real world and just isolate themselves to get themselves together. We shouldn't take it personal when someone is absent from our life. That's something that I'm learning. Also, we had to learn that people who feel very entitled, like people that you are kind of forced to have relationships with, like family members, you can still love them from a distance. Just being honest, you know what I'm saying? It may be someone you have a child with. You have to love them from a distance. Like, yo, stay over there and I'm going to stay over here. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. Anything you want to add to that, DC? You got some words to say?
I mean, I know. I mean, you pretty much nailed it. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to even subliminally put nobody out there. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, like I said, you know, well, like you said, that, you know, you shouldn't feel entitled about anything or anyone. You know what I'm saying? Don't be so butthurt about certain things and certain situations. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, you know, that's their narrative. You have your own. Control your own shit.
Exactly that part. So, on this week for Shut Me the Fuck Up topic, we are ripping Band-Aids off. We are going to be talking about how we are toxic, or how we was toxic. So, I'm going to start it off with the first question, DC. What is or was your biggest toxic trait that you had to work on or you're trying to work on right now in your life?
Let me see. The biggest toxic trait was basically the self-criticism. I feel like self-criticism for me was like a big toxic trait for me because it didn't allow me to grow and be myself as a person. And that's something I'm honestly still trying to work on. Because the thing was, like, I never really gave myself the benefit of a doubt to be what I could possibly be. You know what I'm saying? I still haven't I feel like I still haven't reached my peak of being the person that I want to be. You know what I'm saying? But it always takes me to be my own, you know, bad critic, you know what I'm saying? To really dig deep down because, you know what I'm saying? We know what we go through on a daily basis, you know what I'm saying? You know, as an individual. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We know our darkest secrets and everything like that. Not saying that my secrets are dark as shit, but I've had some wrongs that I didn't take lightly. You know what I'm saying? I weighed heavy upon those wrongs that I did in my life. So I hold those over my head a lot. You know what I'm saying? And I think that stunts my growth as a person. You know what I'm saying? So that's something that I'm working on, is basically learning how to did those situations for good so that I can grow. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a difference for, you know, to look back on something knowing that it's over and done with and you can still move on from it versus looking back and saying, like, damn, that happened and, like, I'm still going through it a bit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, I mean, that, you know, that's something I'm working on. I'm trying to prevent, you know, stunting my growth, you know what I'm saying? Because I do have that vision now of knowing what I can do and what I can become. So it's all the matter of just, you know, being more uplifting to myself, you know, versus beating myself down about it.
Gotcha. Well, I guess I'll answer the question next. My biggest toxic trait, I'm going to say, is my anger. It's not as bad as it used to be, but I realized because since as a child, I wasn't able to express my anger. if I felt a certain type of way, I was told that I was taking things personal. If I wanted to be quiet and give people the silent treatment, I was told, oh, well, there may be a day where I don't want to be here. You know, no, there may be a day where I'm no longer here and, you know what I'm saying, like, you're going to regret it. So I was always guilted out of feeling that way. And I was the type of person who would forgive, but I would never forget because it hurt me. And because I couldn't, you know, I couldn't express it to that person, I tried to find answers in my own head. I tried to find ways to rationalize it, but it was just driving me crazy to the point where I would suppress it. But
right.
I noticed now in my adult life, people that don't even deserve my anger, they are starting to get, you know, the side effects of it because I've held on to it for so long and I didn't express it to people that deserved it. So I'm really trying to work on learning how to re-communicate myself. I'm trying to learn how to have that assertive anger instead of the passive aggression. You know, passive aggression, examples of that is like a person who procrastinates or a person who says everything is fine when it's not, or they get real quiet. That's who I used to be. And I noticed that I'm starting to become that open aggression person, someone who is just always lashing out or criticizing people. I'm trying to become that assertive one who can, you know, like really just talk about it without having to get so emotional about it. And, you know, I'm even right. coming to a point of asking myself, the people who hurt me, because they're still around, do I express myself or do I act like it never happened? So I'm at a point where I'm trying to figure out that. Should I just let that go? You know what I'm saying? Is it worth talking about? Or, you know what I'm saying, should I just learn how to work on it myself? But, yeah, that's mine.
Well, I mean, so I guess my question would be, at times, were you ever aware of your toxic traits? And, you know, at times, was it, you know, more comfortable to live with?
That's a good question. As a child, I didn't realize or I didn't know why I was always so angry. Me and my sister, you know, siblings argue, but we used to argue and it would be to the point where, like, I blacked out and I couldn't remember what I said or I couldn't remember how it started. And I used to feel guilty about that because I'm like, that's bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm getting so right. mad to the point where I don't even know how this started. But I noticed my toxic ways, honestly, in my relationship of 3 years with this guy that I was living with. I noticed, like, how irritated and frustrated I would get with him. Like, I come from a family where we have low tolerance for, like, stupid shit. Like, you, and I have my small moments, so you can imagine how irritated I get with myself, but we don't have a lot of patience when it comes to people saying dumb stuff. Like, if I ask you a question and you just sit there and don't answer, I have a problem with that. So pretty much it's like with him, he would do that. Like, I would ask a question and he would just get quiet. And I'd be like, you know, like, do you not fucking hear me? Like, I hated to be that person, but I really was. And I would always feel bad afterwards. It was very hard to be comfortable in because it was something that I wanted to work on. But I felt like, you know, this, and there came a point where I felt like this is the reaction that you want. So this is what you're going to get. I hope I answered that the best way, but I wasn't comfortable with it, but it's like, if this is what you want, I got to give it to you.
Right. No, I mean, I get it 100%. I know for me, I was never aware of, well, I wasn't aware of it until school. When I was, you know, getting more higher up in, like, you know, grade levels is when I kind of was aware of my trait. My trait around that time was basically, let me see, how can I put it in terms? Like, I was the person that just, you know, shut everything out. You know what I'm saying? And shut it. I grew up with anger. You know what I'm saying? And I grew up with anger because I had, you know, bad social skills. I had bad social skills because I was talked about.
you know what I'm saying, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
that's what created, you know, those particular bad traits. And for me, in a sense, it was comfortable to live with at the time because, you know, I didn't have any interactions with people because I felt like when I did have interactions with people, you know, they were going to possibly talk about me, you know what I'm saying, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, say bad things about me, you know what I'm saying, which would have had to lead into, you know, me possibly, like, you know, fighting somebody because it was like, okay, I'm going to have to knock this motherfucker out, you know what I'm saying, just to show people, like, you know, I'm not somebody that you could just, you know, fuck with. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Just because you know, you're a class clown or you got a reputation to maintain, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
yeah,
in a sense for me, that's what made it comfortable for me. You know, I was comfortable living with that, you know, until it got pointed out in my relationships that, you know, you come off just, you know, too aggressive when it comes to,
yeah.
you know, when it comes to small shit, you know what I'm saying? I'm being honest, you know, because it would be, you know, it would be things that I would, you know, blow out of proportion, you know what I'm saying, over
mm-hmm.
the littlest things. Like, it will be things that, you know, you can sit down and actually talk about versus, you know, just blowing a head gasket, like, what the fuck, like, this and that, you know what I'm saying? But yeah.
Well, that basically flows into my next question for you. Do you believe someone can make you become toxic?
I believe they can. You know what I'm saying? It's because I feel like what happens is that I think we all just feed off of each other's, you know, toxic ways. You know what I'm saying? Whether,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether it's, you know, realizing how toxic you are or the other person is, or it's basically just feeding off of your toxic ways.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know, like, you know, a person that has the person that you're dealing with, you know what I'm saying, depending on what their traits are, you know what I'm saying, they feed off into your shit, you know what I'm saying, or they develop new shit, you know what I'm saying, that's just like, you know, like how you said, like a person that, you know, completely just shuts down when you basically just trying to get an answer out of somebody is like, motherfucker,
mm-hmm.
talk, like, you know what I'm saying, and it, you know, that can create, you know, the monster inside of you, or it can awake the monster inside of you, you know what I'm saying, it all just really depends on, you know, what their toxic traits are.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to say this before I answer the question. With that situation, he was an introvert, and I wasn't really getting mad because he would get quiet. It would be because, like, you know the answer, but you just don't want to say it. So if you don't want to say it, then why are you doing it? Like, he would do little things like, if I'm coming over to spend, like, before we lived together, if I'm coming over to spend the night, you know what I'm saying, he would go out with his brothers and them and hang out and everything and then wouldn't come back home until like the next day. So it's like, what was the point of me coming over if you were just going, like, you know what I'm saying, not be here? And it's like, he could just never
mm-hmm.
answer. But then I had to realize, and that's how I'm about to segue into answering my question. A person can make you become toxic because it's like, he's doing it flat right in front of your face. But you're not, you know what I'm saying? You already know the answer. You don't need to hear it from
me. Right.
You get what I'm saying? Like, a person can make you become toxic. And, you know, honestly, I feel like after being in a very, very toxic relationship, you know what I'm saying, when I first moved to Philly, I feel like a person comes into your life to show you and to teach you things, just like you come into their life to show them and teach them things. So if a toxic person is coming to your life, I feel like it's just them trying to show you a reflection of yourself. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Because I feel like I was very, very, very toxic to the guy that I was in a 3-year relationship with. I really feel like it. Like, you know, I didn't like when he wanted to go hang out with his friends. No, you're only supposed to be around me. I felt like because at that time I lost my grandmother and I was going through a deep depression, I pressured him to, you know what I'm saying, I don't want to be at home. I need you to make me happy today. I depended on him to make me happy, and I pressured him. You get what I'm saying? Like,
Right.
I think I'm really part of the reason why he lost his job, because on days where I was depressed, I'm like, you got to stay home. You know, there was times where if, you know, he didn't want to have sex, I felt I would get mad, like, oh, you don't value me as a person. Now, I may put my foot in my mouth when I say this, but if a person is open-minded, they can understand where I'm coming from. I feel like that very toxic relationship that I got to when I moved to Philly showed me my controlling and my abusive ways towards other people, because I finally got to be on the other side, understanding, not saying that I'm condoning what I would happen to me. You get what I'm saying? Right. I'm not condoning that at all. I just feel like it showed me my ways, and that helped me to want to become a better person.
Yeah, I mean, shit. I think that last part kind of answered my question, but I'm gonna answer it anyway, just in case. But
right.
was your way of being toxic a learned behavior or a coping mechanism to numb pain?
That's definitely a good question. I would say a little bit of both. In my childhood, I feel like it was a coping mechanism because I was so angry with the fact that I couldn't express myself. I would try to write and everything. I would love to be to myself. But then it was like people around me felt like, well, why are you being by yourself and everything? Because I can't express myself to you, so let me be by my fucking self, because, you know, this journal understands what I'm going through. This journal ain't judging me. Let me be. Like, I had to be snappy to set that boundary because I didn't have a voice for myself. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I wasn't able to think for myself. So it's like when I felt like, damn, I don't ask for nothing else, I get good grades. You get what I'm saying? I stay to myself. I don't even go outside because you have me, because the fact that you didn't give me a voice, I don't know how to be friends with people. I'm very awkwardly social around people. So I'm staying to myself. The one thing I want, just give me my fucking me time. But I wasn't allowed to have it. So as I got older, you get what I'm saying, being in relationships, clinging to people and everything, because I don't know how to be by myself because I wasn't able to do it as a child. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Whenever I wanted to be by myself, it was a problem. But then it's like when people wanted to, you know, like when my boyfriends felt like I was suffocating them, that's when the toxic side would come out. Oh, well, you don't appreciate me. But it was me lashing out from other people that let me down. You get what I'm saying? So
right.
I feel like it was a learned behavior because I watched my mama and them talk reckless. Like the females in my family talk reckless to their guys. You know what I'm saying? And I had to really grow up and realize that's not cool. You know what I'm saying? Like man and woman, I feel like it should be an equal thing. Man is not above woman. Woman is not above man. You get what I'm saying? Now, the man is the head of the household, yes, but it's like Fantasia said in the interview about how the woman is the neck. I'm learning that you really can't talk to a man like he's not shit. You get what I'm saying? And still expect
right.
him to love you like everything is okay. So it was a
right.
learned behavior that I had to unlearn, but it was also a coping mechanism because I had to set that boundary for myself. But it's still, I didn't set it strong enough, you know.
Yeah,
so,
I feel
yeah.
that. I mean, yeah, I can relate to a lot of what you said, you know what I'm saying, as far as, being isolated, you know what I'm saying, because, you know, in a sense for me, like, I was just different, you know what
yeah.
I'm saying? I wasn't your typical generic ass, you know, kid, you know, growing up and shit like that, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I think it made it a little bit different for me was because, you know what I'm saying, I basically went to Southfield Public Schools, you know what I'm saying? I went to school with kids
yeah.
that, you know what I'm saying, that were somewhat privileged with materialistic shit, you know what I'm saying? So they didn't, in a sense, know better on, you know what I'm saying, moral, you know, standpoints. You know what I'm saying? So when it came to, you know, being verbally abused about, you know, as far as like being talked about my physical appearance, you know what I'm saying? I learned that, you know, I wasn't good enough to be friends with anybody or, you know, be someone's boyfriend, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, just, you know, just being, you know, part of a relationship or part of a friendship, you know what I'm saying? Like, I learned that I wasn't good enough for that. And that trickled into, you know, my relationship. So it's like, once I, you know, I guess hit like a little glow up little segment of, you know what I'm saying, of my looks or whatever, you know what I'm saying? I started to attract, you know, certain females and stuff like that, whether they were good for me or not, you know what I'm saying? I attracted them, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But that was the damsel of all of, you know, my ways of being around or with people, was because I grew up wanting to be a part of society so bad, to where it was like I was very submissive. But at the same time, I had my insecurities, you know what I'm saying? So it was like, if you didn't show love consistently, then I would think that you wasn't fucking with me. You know what I'm saying? Because like I started to feel like, you know, people can show love temporarily and not necessarily mean it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, that was just my way of thinking. You know what I'm saying? My way of thinking was terrible. You know what I'm saying? Shit, it ain't as bad today, but I mean, it still is, but it ain't as bad. I can say I definitely, you know, leveled up as far as like my thinking or whatever. But I would consider it being a learned behavior. As far as it being a coping mechanism to numb it, like, that was my pain. You know what I'm saying? Not being looked at as an individual, or, you know what I'm saying, an equal individual. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was my pain. Just now, you know what I'm saying, not being understood, you know what I'm saying? So I would use my insecurities just to drain the reassurance out of the person that I'm with, or, well, I wouldn't even say friends. It was more so, you know, the relationships that I was in. I would basically drain them of their, you know, reassurance that, you know, that they want to be in this relationship with me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I use the knowledge of, you know, feeling insecure and not, you know, feeling wanted or anything like that, you know what I'm saying? I would drain them out of that shit, you know what I'm saying? And I can understand how draining that could be, because it's like, look, nigga, I'm tired of fucking, constantly, you know what I'm saying, reassuring that I love you and yada, 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 you know what I'm saying? And I'm not condoning it, you know what I'm saying? I got cheated on, you know, a couple of times, and I'm not condoning that, you know, that may have pushed them away. I'm not saying that's the right way to go about it, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I'm sure it probably drained the hell out of them, you know, to be able to just sit there and be like, you know what, you got too many fucking insecure problems. Like, I don't know what else to tell you.
I didn't mean to laugh, but it's like, yeah, it'd be like, damn, like, you know what? You're right. I am pressuring you too much. Like, I felt like with the guy that I was with, I'm pressuring you too much to make me happy, something that you can't do. I got to find it within myself. So I feel that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it took me to start loving myself, to put it to myself like this, like, you know, because me today, like, you know, a relationship, that's fine, like, that's cool, like, that's something I always wanted, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, I'm not going to basically put all that pressure on a person anymore. Like, I refuse to do that, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're gonna love me for the motherfucker that you've seen in a picture, or, you know what I'm saying, the person you know, if we met in person for the first time, that's the person you gonna like, because that's the person that I'm gonna be. You know what I'm saying? And if, you know, if things happen to change, then, oh, well, fuck it. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to do my part on trying to keep it afloat. And as long as you do your part, you know what I'm saying? And if it still don't go the right way, then, hey, so be it. We tried. That's all I can do.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? Like, emotionally draining myself over trying to, you know, hold on to a relationship, that's shit for the birds. Like, I did that shit twice, hell, maybe three times, and that shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, and sometimes I would snap out of that whole, like, insecure thing, because it's like, okay, like, dog, like, chill. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if she here for a reason, you know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah. So, my last and final question to you is, I know I kind of answered it earlier, but I'm going to piggyback on it. What kind of anger do you express now, you know what I'm saying, at this age? Are you still the passive aggression? Are you open aggression now, where you snappy and you like, fuck this shit? Or are you assertive anger, where you know how to control your emotions but still get your point across?
I'm more so not, you know, basically holding in my anger, but at the same time being able to get my point across, because like I'm at a point now where I'm so unbothered with shit, you know what I'm saying? To where like at the same time, like it makes me upset and, you know, frustrated. I'm never really angry anymore. You know what I'm saying? I'm more so upset, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't let any situation get me past being angry. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just look at it like, dog, that's fucked up. But it's like, hey, it's life. You know what I'm saying? Because I done had some shit happen, you know what I'm saying? Shit, actually, this week. I had something happen this week, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, somebody told me I wasn't shit. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you know what? It is what it is. Fuck it. Like, if you feel like I ain't shit, that's okay. But I know about you too. You know what I'm saying? And that's how I'm just starting to look at it. It's like, I'm not gonna let somebody define who I am as if they fucking perfect.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like at the end of the day, you ain't no better than I am. You know what I'm saying? And it's vice versa. You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna sit here and I'm not gonna approach no fucking body about nothing, because it's like, look, at the end of the day, I ain't perfect either. But my goal is to make day by day, you know, the best way I can. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Well,
like I'm not in a relationship now, but it's like if I was in a relationship, you know what I'm saying? Like the whole aggression part of it, like it's just not worth it no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm about just sitting down and fucking having a discussion. You know what I'm saying? Like, even if you do say some shit that'll piss me off, I'll be like, you know what? We'll try this again tomorrow. Like, I'll do my cakewalk and I'll tell them to be better tomorrow. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, at the end of the day, we either gonna sit down and we gonna hash this shit out tonight, or, you know what I'm saying, I'll sleep on the couch, on the floor, where whatever, you know, the furniture situation may be. You know what I'm saying? And we'll try this shit again the next day. You know what I'm saying? That shit applies to everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, hold it. I'd rather squash this shit, and if we not gonna talk, then that's it. But as far as holding grudges and shit, I'm not holding a grudge with nobody. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's either we cool or we not. You know what I'm saying? No grudges in between.
Well, earlier I know I said that I do the passive aggression. I do a little bit of both in my relationship, like passive aggression, and I do assertive anger. Like, I get quiet if my boyfriend says something that I don't like or if it triggers me. And the reason why I get quiet is because I really want to just self-check and just ask myself, what am I really getting mad for? Is this a reason to snap? You know what I'm saying? Or is this just, you know, or am I overreacting? So then after I think about it, then I do the assertive anger where we talk. You know what I'm saying? Like, where we talk about it. And the reason why I laugh is because me and him act so much alike. It's not even funny. We both get scared when the other person is mad because we think, like, oh, shit, I am fucked up. Now how can I fix it? So we don't let the other one be mad for too long. We be like, you still mad? Like, trying to make conversation. But I can do that assertive anger. Now, when it comes to my job, I'm still trying to work on the open aggression. Like, I don't snap at the clients, but I will put them on mute and just start stomping and be like, oh my God. Like, you know, like, just, I don't care about you. I don't know. I sound toxic as hell saying that, but it's just, I'm sorry. It don't even be the clients.
That job shit is something else, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, I probably said some very well grown up shit before you had said what you said, but that job shit, I'll be childish on that one. Fuck it.
I'm sorry. It's like, I just don't like ungrateful clients, and I don't like ungrateful service providers and everything. It just, I don't know, but I'm really trying to work on being unbothered about that. I'm really trying to learn to be unbothered with road rage too, because you can't, you know, I didn't see a person doing some road rage. I mean, I didn't see like two cars driving over the shoulder to cut each other off. And I'm like, dog, I don't want to look like that. So I don't even want to, I want to work on that too. I've never been to that extent.
Right.
I just honk the horn and just yell like, go, bitch. That's it. But anything in that, but I'm really trying to work on that as well. So, that is my last question. Did you have another one or no? Or you just want to segue?
I did not. We can segue this, John.
All right. Oh my God. Okay, Philly. All right. Oh, he came from Philly. He from Detroit. He just showing love. But let's just segue right into shout outs and appreciation.
Yeah, let's go into the shout out appreciations. I guess I'll go first. Yeah,
always go first.
Shout out to Self Love is My Rehab, the savior of my sanity, my mental, and every goddamn thing else. You know what I'm saying? This has been a therapeutic session for me every Sunday. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, the message is to, you know, build a better self, you know what I'm saying, each day at a time. Shout out to God, you know what I'm saying? Keep us, you know, within your reach, you know what I'm saying, through this time that we're going through. And I'm going to just leave it at that with that corona stuff. Shout out to Dynamic Culture Apparel. I got some heat. I got some heat, boy. I got some heat.
Yeah.
I have posted a picture a blurred picture of the designs. That is not the actual design, people. Just
Man,
in case y'all may get
reach.
That confused.
I was about to reshare that shit, and I'm like, wait. I was about to reshare, thinking like, oh, he dropped it. I'm like, no, he didn't yet. I had to look at the little emoji where you had the finger up. I'm like, oh, shoot. I'm about to reshare.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
that
that's right. Yeah, because that's the thing. Because the thing was, like, I was trying to drop a picture out there, but I didn't want to give the design yet. I just wanted to keep everybody informed that, you know what I'm saying, I'm coming out with it. I will reveal it Friday. So everybody stay in tune for that. You know, I'll be dropping it Friday. I'll be making a video about it and everything like that. So be sure to stay tuned in for that. If you're not already, you need to go ahead and follow Dynamic_Culture_Apparel. And you can follow me as well on Facebook at just Dynamic Culture Apparel. And it's going to be some shit. I have two designs. I ain't trying to spoil it too much, but I got two designs. You know, one in particular is for, you know what I'm saying, for the city. You know what I'm saying? So for all my Detroit people, you know what I'm saying, be sure to tune in for that because it's going to be a hot one. I'm proud of myself on this design. But, shout out to Positive Vibes, man. Shout out to Complex, you know what I'm saying, for allowing me to be the road dog on this motherfucking platform, you know what I'm saying, that we got going on right here. And shout out to all the people with negative energy, you know what I'm saying, like in due time you will come into the light, you know what I'm saying, at the end of the day we still love you, you know what I'm saying, just catch up. That's all I got.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I just wanted to say before I say my shout out that when you said Detroit, I just thought about that video with Eminem back in the 90s. I think it was the song with him and Dr. Dre. The song Forgot About Dre when he was in the background.
Oh, yeah, Forgot About
Detroit,
Dre.
What? When he was in the background of Detroit, what? Oh, I don't know why I thought
Hell
about
nah.
that. Shout out to Detroit, man. That's always home. But I'm going to say shout out to God because without him, there is no me. I've been working on a prayer journal lately because I'm too lazy to clean out my closet. Like, I want to make a prayer room out of that. But until then, I just said I'll do a journal. Just, like, having a close relationship with him is really helping me to find myself, really helping me to learn about my purpose and my calling. It's teaching me to strengthen myself, to overcome fears, and to strengthen my mentality. Because, honestly, things like what's going on right now with the coronavirus, the old me probably would have had a heart attack by now and, like, you know, like probably scared myself to death because I let my anxiety just take over. But I'm not taking the coronavirus lightly at all, you know what I'm saying? I do feel like the press is overhyping it, and I feel like you guys are making everybody in the world go on a panic frenzy, and I'm not the only one that has said it. There has been doctors that's been interviewed saying it, but I refuse to let my anxiety get the best of me over this, and that's where I'm going to leave it at that. Shout out to you, DC, for always, you know, just being ready to roll and everything. We season 2 with it. We live with it. I am very... I'm very proud of you. I'm very proud of the growth that I see in you. Like I said, like this was just an idea for like a year and a half, and then we finally just said, you know what, fuck it, let's do it. We had to do a couple of we had to do a couple of sly light skinned Vivian in, but you know what I'm saying? Nobody noticed. It is what it is. I'm sorry. Like it's a new Complex Angel in here. You know, just that is what it is. But just thank you for that. Shout out to No Apologies. It's continuously setting, you know, platforms for me. LaQuisha Malone, she's going to be a guest on here. She just had me do a magazine interview in her her Strawberry Lit magazine. It's going to be coming out in June. The one, you know, the whatever it's called. What is it called when they do this? The June, the April, the subscription. Thank you. Couldn't think of it, but I'm gonna be in the June subscription. And she's also gonna let me give away 3 books and everything. Unfortunately, due to the coronavirus, the event in May where I was supposed to be a speaker has been postponed because New Jersey has closed all of their casinos. We don't know what's going to happen with that, but you know, I basically said, you know, I see it still happening, but if it doesn't, there's other opportunities, and it's postponed. It's not, that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. But,
right.
So that's my shout outs and everything. So we about to just, you know, stimulate our minds real quick before we get off this episode. You ready to get your mind stimulated, DC?
Stimulate your mind, Craig.
All right. So,
The question this week is,
they say it's out of sight or out of mind. Like, it's out of sight, out of mind, right? So if we act like our trauma doesn't exist, will it just go away?
No, not in a sense. You know what I'm saying? It's basically... Nah, I don't think so. And you know what I'm saying? I'll use myself as an example. With the whole drinking thing, you know what I'm saying? I had some, you know, some bad situations happen, and you know what I'm saying? Ever since then I've been sober. I haven't, you know, had a drink or anything like that. I've been 4 years. Almost 5 years sober.
Congratulations. Yay.
Yeah. So, you know, it's been out of sight only up until, you know what I'm saying, like I come across, you know, either, you know, somebody posting about they bought the drink, or, you know what I'm saying, somebody, you know, is drinking, you know what I'm saying? Because the thing is, depending on what your trauma is, like for me, like alcohol is every damn where. You know what I'm saying? So, like, there's going to always be not an urge, but, you know, just that reminder of what I've been through. You know what I'm saying? So, I feel like, honestly, it all depends on where your trauma lies. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I mean, yeah, that can be a yes and no question.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because, like, for me, like, I know I'm numb to, you know, the urge of wanting to drink. Like, you know what I'm saying? Me looking at, you know, whether it's post or, you know, people in the act of drinking, it doesn't cause me to want to drink. You know what I'm saying? The only thing you do is this reminds me of the reason why I stopped and the reason why I said I'm not going to no more. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it could be healthy for you. You know what I'm saying? Depending on what your trauma is, you know?
No, I get it. Yeah. I definitely get it. But the reason why I asked is because I was talking to someone before who has been through like a lot of things. And I was just saying, like, I want to address the abuse that I went through, but I feel like that's giving the person who did it to me power. Like, you know, this is the conversation we're having. And I was like, I feel like that's giving them power. I feel like talking about it is not really helping me to get over it, because every time I think about it, it just puts me back into that low state. And, you know, she was saying, like, she was like, I just don't think about it. I don't think about it at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I asked her, like, well, how does that work for you? Because even when I don't talk about it, it's like what you said. If I go to certain areas, I'm going to get triggered to think back to it. And then I have to sit up here and calm myself down and say, we're not there anymore. You get what I'm saying? So it's like I don't feel like it go. I don't feel like it goes away either. You know, like coming back home to Michigan to visit, I got instantly depressed because I thought about my grandma and my mama. And I hadn't had a chance to really think about them for the longest time, you know what I'm saying, with transitioning and everything that I went through when I first got here. You know, I'm just now starting to really grieve for both of them. So it's like, but going back home, it's like, oh, shit. I think I wasn't ready for this, you know, but it is what it is. But, I really agree, though. Like, I was just wondering, like, does it work for some people or does it not? Like, you know, I'm like, but then I look at it like, no, that's just suppressing. That's just suppressing that we are doing. That's the epiphany that's the reality that I came to. If I'm not talking about it, I'm suppressing it, and it's just turning into depression or anxiety, or it's giving me arthritis later on down the line.
You say arthritis.
Am I wrong? I mean, they say stress can like really damage the body and the organs.
I don't know how swift it happens, because I mean, shit, I've been stressing for the last fucking 4-5 years. Hell, maybe longer than that.
I'm just saying, like, I mean, like, I don't know. I'm not really a doctor with the arthritis thing, but, you know, I go to see elderly people. I mean, with the coronavirus right now, we're not allowed in their houses. We're doing it over the phone. But just talking to them, you know, like, oh, if, you know, like them just saying, if I would have listened to my doctor back then, if I would have exercised more, you know what I'm saying, I wouldn't be feeling like this, or I wouldn't have this pain. Or if I, you know, like, I wouldn't have these heart problems, because but what we stress about, that takes a toll on our heart, too. But I'm going to even say if I don't deal with it, it's going to come out in my kids. Or, you know, something may happen years later where I snap. So I just really wanted to know. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that shit can play a part in a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think the worrisome of it all, you know what I'm saying, that's what gets us in line of just stressing about a lot of things. Just like you said, like the what ifs, you know what I'm saying? The what ifs can probably kill you by its damn self, you know what I'm saying? Because you stress, you know, I stress over about the what ifs, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think about it as much no more, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I used to always have like the what ifs, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what if, you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't get in the car, you know, those two times, you know what I'm saying? I caught my two DUIs or whatever, you know what I'm saying? I used to sit there and I used to dwell on the what ifs a lot. You know what I'm saying, doing that, because it was so surreal. I never thought that I would go through something like that. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that what if played heavy in my mind, like, consistently for a long time. But you just come to the realization, you know what I'm saying, just accepting, you know, what is, you know what I'm saying, and what can be changed. You know what I'm saying? How can you overcome it? You know what I'm saying?
True, that part.
No,
I mean, I was just going to say, like I said before, trauma isn't something that you can get over. It's like losing a parent or losing a friend or losing a sibling. Like, you know, those relationships that you have long, like that. Okay, friendships. I have a lot of friends that I grew up with. That's why I say that. But I'm not going to use that as an example. But, like, when you lose a parent or you lose a sibling or you lose a child, you know, those are those relationships that you have, like, long-term with, even a grandparent. You know, with other family members or, like, you know, with people that you may have knew or associates that passed, over time, it's like, you feel sad and everything like that. You'll think about them like, damn, I can't believe they're gone. But you'll be able to get through the holidays and stuff. But with like a parent or like, you know, a child or your grandparent, every time holidays come up, you're always thinking about them. Every time your birthday comes up, damn, they're not going to call. So that's how I look at trauma. You get what I'm saying? Like, even though I have not been in that abusive relationship since 2018, and, you know, I also got a restraining order last year, 2019. It's been a year. When I still go to certain areas, I will still feel a certain type of way. My heart will start to beat and I will start to, like, you know, clench, because it's like, it's a trigger. And I have to learn how to manage that trigger. I can't just act like it doesn't exist. But I really wanted to bring this question to the podcast to, like, you know, get your perspective on it, because, like, I wonder that, you know what I'm saying? Like can we really just act like it doesn't exist? And it does. You know what I'm saying? You answered when you said, like, shit, when I see somebody drinking or if I go to a certain area, you know what I'm saying, that it makes me think of that.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't really, you know, think that it's healthy to always run away from your trauma. You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
I feel like at some point you do have to face it. You know what I'm saying? And fight through it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't run forever. You know what I'm saying? Eventually you'll get tired. You know what I'm saying? So why wait until you're exhausted? You know what I'm saying? Low on energy, low on faith, you know what I'm saying? Low on hope to, you know, want to suddenly just fight it now. Like, shit, fight it while it's, you know, fight it while you're strong enough to do so.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Don't ever wait until the vulnerable moment to be like, you know, damn, like, you know, this and the third. And it's like, you make it more difficult upon yourself to overcome it. You know what I'm saying? When you're at your lowest. Mm-hmm.
Exactly that part.
Yeah.
But so that concludes our episode. You know, how did you feel ripping that Band-Aid off?
Man, I feel good, man. What you, man?
Yeah. I don't have a problem with admitting that I'm toxic, because that's part of your self-love journey, where you got to realize the bad and the good. You know what I'm saying? You can't be holy and sanctified. I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? Like, we are all like fruit. You know what I'm saying? If you get around one of them little rotten fruits, you're going to get a little bit of rottenness on you. So,
you're going to get a little bit of that juice.
Man, that shit used to scare the shit out of me when I would see something molded. I'd be like, oh my God, it's a rat.
I swear, I used to think that motherfucker was just going to raise up, stretch out, and be like, the fuck you looking
yes.
at?
Like, right.
Nothing, sir. Nothing at all.
Nothing at all. Be like Jamie Foxx when that one episode, no. I think it was Jane Fox, but he was doing driver's training, and they had, like, an army person as they, what's his name? He's like, what are you looking at?
Yeah,
and
that
was a real cross-eyed, yep.
Damn, what was his name? Shit, it was something Cooper. I forgot his name, though. Jamie Foxx.
I would not have seen the speed, baby.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Hell no.
Uh-oh. Yeah, so that concludes. We out. Peace and love.
Deuces.